Welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, your host. We're living in a very interesting time. Coronavirus is permeating everywhere and many lives are being impacted. I invited three friends and we're going to talk about what issues we have and how churches are responding to those issues and how we can maximize them for God's kingdom. And before we jump into the main content, I want to introduce my friends.
Sure. My name is Eric Chang. I'm a pastor at the Connect Church. We meet actually in, we used to meet in Cary, but we're now having our services online.
All right. Pastor Gary.
My name is Gary Lee. I'm pastor of Rooted Church. We were meeting at Pure Life Theater near NC State, but as of this coming Sunday, we'll be online on Facebook.
Jacob?
My name is Jacob Park. I am the English Ministries Pastor here at FKBC Raleigh. And hopefully we're staying healthy and happy.
A lot going on these days because of coronavirus. It impacts lots of people, including churches. Now, what issues are you seeing these days?
I think for our congregation, it's been very interesting going through this process because I can see probably helps to have a little bit of background. Our church has been online now for 2 weeks, and from based on where we are geographically in North Carolina, we came to that decision as a church because we meet in a school building, and not only did we not want to become a risk to the students, the elementary students that are there, but also for them to become a risk towards our congregation. So we pulled the trigger a little bit early, and it was actually a fair amount of work for us to come through the decision to go ahead and move online. And so we're probably about 1 week ahead of where a lot of churches are, a little bit ahead of that curve, but we decided to take that proactive stance. But in so doing, whenever you're pushing the boundary of things, there's always going to be people towards the tail that are struggling to keep up with that. So one of the big issues for us is how do we maintain our congregation stay together, even as we're taking a little bit more progressive stance in how we're going to address this issue. Some of that was an information, not just the quantity of information, but also agreement on what information is relevant. And that's been, I think, a great concern for our congregation. Probably the biggest issue is how are we going to maintain community in the midst of all this change?
Our take is a little bit different. I should learn from Pastor Eric because he's proactive. We are more on the reactive side. We're a church that is less than 50 people, about 40 to 50 people. So we're under 100. We're under 50, and now when the president just recommended under 10, we're like, okay, you win. we need to honor the government that God has placed in our lives. So we're in compliance there in a good and healthy way. And so I think the biggest things that we're facing is we're a small church, and so how do we continue to foster community? How do we shepherd well? We already have people facing layoffs and no jobs, and so we're, working through our benevolence, and we want to care not just spiritually but also practically. And so some of the folks at our church are our teachers, and not just teachers, they're substitute teachers. So when the school closed down, there's no subbing for them, and so we're trying to help them. And we're finding out, we're learning that the grocery stores are hiring now to keep things up to stock. So that's one thing we're learning at this time. I think the other thing we've been pondering is this having a mindset of not fear. Over and over, the scripture says, fear not. And so we're trying to actively take our fear and replace it with faith and trust in the Lord for all the details of our lives.
Pretty much, Eric and Gary covered the things that we're kind of struggling with. I mean, our English congregation, at least, it is fairly sizable. So when we saw the number 50, we're like, oh, we can't meet anyways. We were planning to go online last week regardless, but it's good to stay in compliance. The Korean ministry, it felt like there's a bit more anxiety on that side. I don't know if it's because there are more connections to Korea and they saw what happened in Korea, and so people were very anxious to move forward, right? They're the ones that started everything. The EM here were just kind of, oh, what's going on, huh? But, you know, they were very progressive in getting this ball rolling, and just really thankful to be at a church where we can communicate in that way, and we're willing to submit to each other's leadership and whatnot. Yeah, just here, one concern that I actually do have is, and this might sound very secular or worldly, but it is with giving. When we come together, I think the act of giving, you know, the symbolism and whatnot, you're physically there. So I feel like it's easier to give and whatnot versus online. It's kind of impersonal in far ways. So just kind of wondering how the church, because our doors do remain open, but we're not open to large gatherings and whatnot. We still have the office hours going and whatnot. But, you know, day to day, it incurs expenses and whatnot. And so just pondering, you know, how can we make this work if this is going to be an extended thing, which more and more it sounds like it's going to be.
How does your church respond to those issues?
Just to kind of start off with, I copied another church. I can't remember, one of the mega church pastors. I think it was like, might have been Platt or someone like that. But he wrote a handwritten letter just to encourage his congregants. And so I just did the same, took a picture of it, posted online. And then we recorded a short message just to reassure congregants that, you know, we're doing our very best as a church to continue to pray. We will be eventually moving to online services and those types of things. And so I think that's kind of helped a little bit. Online service attendance was, you know, reasonable. It wasn't like, you know, no one came out or anything like that. But at the same time, you know, you're still dealing with how do we move forward to this kind of remote type of experience. But again, I think this is providential as well. Never before in history has there been this high a percentage of people that are comfortable with, you know, video conferencing. This young generation, they have more technical skill than any generation in history. It's comfortable for them. For some of them, it's probably more comfortable than coming in on Sundays and sitting here in the pews and whatnot. So, you know, I think we need to be really open and empowering to that younger generation that are more tech savvy and just really see what ideas maybe come out of them. I think that'd be kind of neat. But again, I hope that this is not prolonged, but I think we can learn so much from it as well.
As a pastor, I'm not a high-tech kind of guy, but we did our first, you know, live service, and so it's a spiritual journey for me to adjust and think about how to engage on this generation. I know there's two major schools of thought. I think they're both valid. On one side, we need to practice social isolation and for our benefit and the benefit of others so we don't continue to pass this virus. And we don't even know if we have it or don't. I have a wife that reads a lot, and I think that's great, and she's constantly informing me. And recently she informed me that the most scariest segment of the population are probably the 20s or 30s, because when they get the virus, their symptoms aren't as bad. It feels like a regular cold or virus to them. So they're probably they could carry it and have no idea the whole duration of having the coronavirus, but yet they're contaminating people. And so we've come to a place where we need to be more and more conservative and more proactive in our thinking. And the other side is many evangelical leaders are saying, hey, this is unprecedented gospel opportunity times because people's faiths are being shaken and they're thinking about their lives and they're losing loved ones, relatives, and so forth. And so what does it look like to share the gospel and share care and love toward others when you need to be concerned for social interaction? And so I think texting is huge, individual texts, messaging. Also thinking through, like, I notice a lot of advertisements offering free delivery. So I know we have ways to bless people with food and gifts, and Amazon hasn't closed down yet, so there's still ways to share love and in a tangible way and follow it up with either a video or text text information related to the gospel. And so I think we don't want to waste this opportunity to continue to minister to friends and relatives. I'm from California, and I think my relatives are in a lot of fear, and this is a great opportunity to circle back to them and bless them. And so those are things on my mind.
Yeah, for our church, probably it helps also to fill in a little bit. Since we're trying to be ahead of the curve, we actually made a resolution as our church leadership to be proactive again. And one of the things that came quickly apparent to us is that we needed to set up some sort of advisory committee. So we actually set up a COVID-19 advisory committee. And it's been very helpful, especially over the past 2 weeks. But now we're going to have to shift gears because I think pretty much the work of awareness is done. However, they're going to continue just with different pieces to educate our congregation in part. But we realize also that committee does not fulfill the role for the pastoral side of things. And so we do have our two, I'm a co-lead pastor of this church, and my Korean counterpart, MC, he actually and I are on that committee, but we're starting to look a lot harder at what does the pastoral touch look like. And our congregation, I feel like the responses that we're getting and the people, I think they're now pretty much all on the same page, saying, okay, we understand, regardless because of what the government says, now this is real. And but we've started to think about and plan how we can begin to start reaching out to the community. This might sort of bleed over into other issues. And I know for myself, one of the components that I'm trying to plan is I think we can really empower our congregations. I was going to actually go through Gary Chapman's 5 languages of love. And obviously, the time spent together will be minimized across the whole church, but within a specific in your family or close friends, that's still a present. And so to empower our congregation to understand, hey, wait a minute, it's just different. And we can go ahead and we can continue to bless. You know, Gary mentioned about gifts and all the shifts and changes of what we do. It's still very possible and present, and certainly. And we have all this opportunity with the gospel. So it's really wonderful to be able to exercise that in a new way. Yeah.
How can we maximize these issues to advance God's kingdom?
I think almost any crisis is an opportunity to advance the gospel. You know, we can look at instances in history when people were most receptive, were times of crisis, were times when they realized this world is not all there is. There must be more. You know, questions are sparked in people's hearts. And so I think just as Christians, to always be vigilant and attentive and looking for opportunities to share the gospel. Again, we won't be doing it face-to-face in person. Maybe there's people in their families, you know, direct connections that we have. But I think we have a lot of opportunities, even online, Facebook. No obnoxious memes, please. But just, you know, things that we can share, why we believe, why we can, you know, not be fearful through this whole time. There's a couple of things that just really come to my mind as we think about this whole situation is, you know, we're stewards of the planet as well. And we're not having all these mass gatherings where we're wasting all these, you know, styrofoam cups and paper plates and whatnot. And I noticed for the first time, literally in the 8 years I've been here, that dumpster out back was empty. So I'm just thinking, well, if we're not gathering in massive groups, we're not wasting all this, you know, quote, recyclable stuff or non-recyclable stuff, perishable stuff. You know, I think as Christians, as a church, we can really consider, you know, how is our long-term impact in terms of the environment? If you know me well, by no means am I a greenie. I'm Canadian, but I'm not the typical Canadian type. I know a lot about the environment. I studied it for my undergrad, environmental physics. But, you know, I'm not all about Greenpeace and those types of things. But I do realize we're stewards of the earth. And even things like, okay, we gather together. Think about the implications for health. I think as a church, sometimes we need to consider that. We know about the cult in Korea. You know, patient, what was it, 13, she has a name, right? And as a result, literally over 1,000 people were infected directly by this person. It's crazy. I think as Christians, we got to realize, you know, we need to be good stewards of everything that the Lord gives us and to be responsible.
One of the neat things is I was thinking about is, I'm probably the oldest of the three of us, or actually the four of us here. But I know it's challenging as we're shifting our communication modality to more digital and also going online and even things like this with the podcast, and video podcast. And this has been, I think, a watershed moment in the life of the church, because the majority of churches are going to have to go online. I think that's a wonderful testament in and of itself. I was just thinking about how many sermons are now available, and we get to see a better peek into the life of so many different churches and to hear the gospel preached and to understand a little bit better that our message that we share really can go to the whole world. Mm-hmm. So one of the neat things, too, for our church, as far as opportunities go, we just this past Saturday had a special interview session of a missionary candidate that's in process with us. And they were going to be remote anyways. But since people, because of 2 weeks of services now under their belt, feel a lot more comfortable hopping online and being able to listen to this missionary present. And it actually draws us closer to the mission field because of the technology that we do have. Mm-hmm. So again, it's different. It's not the same. We do want that face-to-face contact. I anticipate that'll come with time. And from my best non-professional guest, I think we're in this for about a good 2-3 months, honestly. And even within the next week, I anticipate or two that we might even have to be seeing some other big changes in our lives here in our way of living here in the U.S.
Yep.
And that's okay, because it's not going to kill us. It's just it'll make us stronger. Mm-hmm. And one of the big burdens on my heart has been how do we make the church or help the church become more able to reach people outside of so much of the demographic bubbles that we've set up, little enclaves. And I think this is in part a huge answer, you know, if you think about it. It's not direct persecution, but it's in many ways moving us out of Jerusalem into Judea, into Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth. So I'm really excited to see how this will all start to bear fruit. You know, there are a lot of English-speaking nations in the world, but all the other countries that are doing the same things regarding going online, their languages, and connecting people. Yeah.
And kind of riding on that first point that you made about all these sermons becoming available online, I think this might really help, because I think a lot of what mainstream media gets is just really, really bad theology. And I think if they're more exposed to, hey, this is what the average church teaches, they're not teaching the prosperity gospel, they're not teaching about, God will, make you immune to COVID-19, they're not teaching, racism, they're not teaching slavery, it's the gospel that's being presented. And so just, even as small church pastors or middle-sized church, even big church pastors that aren't, all over the media and whatnot, just to really realize, hey, wait, maybe the world can actually see a clearer picture of Christ rather than what's presented a lot of the times by one of these mega church-type pastors.
I guess piggybacking on both your thoughts on social media, and the use of video, I said jokingly, but I realize it's fairly true on Sunday that this is probably the least attended Sunday in terms of church building and the most attended video service in the history of the United States. And I'm like, I think that's true. And there's so many people watching. And that they're not just watching. I think they're paying more attention now. Many times I think people, sit in service and they're just kind of there. passing the time as we speak. But I think because of the situation, people want truth. They want to hear something that is relevant to what's going on in their life. And so they're listening more attentively. They're listening with eyes more open, with ears more attentive to what's going on. And so even a number of people, I don't really think about what people say back to me in messages, but they're like, yeah, this is timely. I'm like, it's easier to preach when there's a situation that you can address God's word specifically to the situations that are going on. I think the other thing I've been thinking about is the coronavirus is epidemic for this generation. Never seen anything like this in my life. Excuse me. But it also makes me think of the gospel, where sin itself is not a virus, but everyone has it. And it is very bad in the sense we're all in rebellion. We're all under the law. We're all going to be judged for the penalty of sin. And it is terminal. But the cool thing in the gospel is that Jesus is the answer. So we don't need to wait around for a vaccine or for scientists to come up. Jesus, God the Father, already provided the answer through Christ Jesus, who lived and died and seeks to redeem us and seeks us to make us right with the Father, to make us right to and fit for heaven by giving us the righteousness of Christ by faith in him and him alone. So I think that's beautiful, to know that the gospel is the answer for today and in our thoughts, and also it's our answer for the future. And so it makes me only long for a day when God's church is taken home and we're living in eternity in a place where there is no disease and no sickness and no death. So it makes me long for the future eternity all the more.
Gary, I really like that. It reminds me, like, the ending of Mark. We know that end of that book, there's a little ambiguity about what is the real ending. And, of course, the more extended version has been given to us just in case, I believe. But if you were to cut it off on the early part, it ends at this really awkward step where Jesus is resurrected, but then it's like you're left hanging because it doesn't really say anything more beyond that. And I feel like we're very much at that kind of stage where it's like, what's going to happen next? And the story of redemption just keeps going on. And certainly this is the biggest wrinkle, at least from a public health disease and things since at least, 1918 with the Spanish flu. And so the idea of us going back to re-understanding and re-establishing what is the gospel in this time, this generation, and what should it mean? And so, Gary, I echo exactly what you're saying with the gospel. And certain things are just non-negotiable. The Bible uses the word sin. The Bible talks about redemption, salvation, in clear tones. And Christ is the only antidote for all of this. And yet, to contextualize it in our modern day, we certainly have a whole new canvas with COVID-19 to be able to talk about the gospel and share good news. And what should it mean to us should be even deeper than it ever was in the past as we press towards the kingdom.
There are lots of people struggling in these days, including pastors and leaders in local churches. What words of encouragement do you want to give to them?
Yeah, I just want to jump in right here. I think I can sense for myself what I've been going through is a conversation I actually had was in the car with Gary as we were driving here. Part of the challenge of what we have as pastors is that we've never encountered something like this before. So we need to be realistic and basically say, okay, there's no script for this. And part of our other side is that we definitely need to be proactive about certain things, but also reactive about other things. And we have to decide where our church needs to be on that spectrum. So do we want to be in lockstep Or do we have a little bit of latitude, like in Gary's case? he's following along just a tad bit behind the curve, just as it's become necessary. But for us, we're just a little bit ahead of the curve, really just basically 1 week. And some of that depends on your congregation, the demographics and where you sit, once you're comfortable with that. I would say the second thing has to do at the pastoral level that I know for myself is I require a lot of time to think and prepare for my sermons. And it's been a lot of noise, a lot of stuff, and I still have to keep up with that. And I've offloaded that to have this little advisory committee. And, you know, we have one guy that's a researcher and medical doctor, and then we have another guy who happened to have been a Wall Street analyst, basically. And they're great. They've just been sucking up all the news and bringing up relevant bits. And so for MC and I, just to be able to just take that in and then process it, it's been really helpful. But other times, I just have to shut it off. I really need to hear the voice of God. And at the pastoral level, I think it's so key. Yeah, those are probably my two best thoughts as far as for pastors. And then the third one is regarding technology, but actually, you guys probably know more of those things.
Yeah, right now, Southeastern, for smaller church pastors, they're offering kind of a recording studio type of thing. Not really a studio, but you know, they're offering time slots to get online for pastors that might not be as technically able as some of these larger churches or younger churches or whatnot. And so those types of things are out there. I think even though we're apart, I keep posting this online, you know, stand strong, right, together while apart. And I think that's just what we need to do through this time. Use each other's resources and be open to collaboration. And I think this could be one of those things that really unifies the church and strengthens us.
Even now, I appreciate the camaraderie with Jacob and Eric and you, Sammy. And as we think about this, as we are, I think, Bible-minded, Christ-centered type people, we want to think through what is God's will in this. And the great thing is God's word is eternal, and we just need to skillfully apply it to what's happening today. And so I just want to say to pastors, be confident in the Lord and his word. He gave it to us, and we need to use it, and we don't need to run to all these other things real quickly to for help or to satisfy our quick hit for comfort or whatever. I think our comfort and our hope, again, are in God's word, and so we need to cling to those promises. And so I think that's one area that remains true. I'm networking with pastors at a higher level. We're coming together with a small group of guys, 3-4 of us, and we're literally asking the basic question, how do we shepherd our people in times like this? And so we want to share ideas. We want to be relevant. We want to help people to know that the church is not just a building that meets on a bunch of people that meet on a building on Sunday. The church is a people of God. And so if we're meeting here or there or different sizes, it really doesn't matter. the church could come in all different sizes, and I'm thankful for that. But our people need to be reminded that the church is not a building or just simply a gathering place. So we need to reclaim that doctrine, that truth for Christ's church. And so those are two things for pastors. And I think, you know, these denominational lines or ethnic lines, they're pretty much gone and erased at this point. I don't even think we need them. I think we have every opportunity now to learn from each other, share resources, encourage each other all the more until the day the Lord comes. And so we're encouraging each other. I have multiple types of friends. I have Asian friends, Caucasian friends, Mexican friends, African-American friends, and my phone is going crazy, taking in all the encouragement. I'm thankful for it. A little overwhelmed too, but I'm thankful to have friends that care in this area.
Well, I mean, if I'm sure this will probably go for the other two of you, but I won't speak up certainly, is that if you guys have any questions or needs, please, we'll be glad to help support or encourage you. I'm assuming I can hand off our website and some contact information in some way that you all can reach out to us. And yeah, I'm I just don't know where things are going to go, but I know that our God does. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, just a reminder, you know, even if this goes a few months, it'll pass. My concern always with these types of situations is during the situation, I think people, we do step up. I think you see the very best of people come out in these types of situations. My concern is after this passes, people are just going to want to go back to it the way things were. And I think that'd be a big mistake. I mean, that's always, you know, you learn from the situation and you grow stronger as a result and you remain stronger as a result. And so what can we take from all this in order to advance the kingdom? And also just us as a church, there might be certain things that this reveals that we need to repent of. And, you know, we should be on our knees and in prayer through this whole situation and time.